Yeah, but look at the rest of the week.
Is it nice?
80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But old man, winter's here today.
That's okay. It's just one day.
Yeah. Tomorrow, it's going to be milder.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say warmer. We'll just say milder. Like 69 tomorrow. Not bad. Partly sunny. But, folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show brought to you by Carolina Fresh. This show could not happen without you. We need you to take yourself from the listenership and turn yourself into the participant. It's very simple. You can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. We would love to hear from you, as Scott did not prepare much for the show today. Did you?
It's all right here.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything.
Oh, I just handed it to you.
So you didn't prepare much for the show today.
I'm on vacation.
Oh, you're talking about my stack of papers?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the same stack I bring every week.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's the same stack,
I handed
man.
That to you out in the parking lot.
Yeah, same stack I bring every week. Same words, same black and white ink.
You just changed the date.
Yeah, pretty much. How'd you know? You know? So we would love to hear from you. 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Phone lines are open as well as a text line. As we wait to see what happens, Scott, let's talk a little bit about what's going on this week. You know, for me, I was a little detached. Took a few days off spring break, went to the Low Country. Great hunting Island State Park, little island that the state of South Carolina has owned for many, many years. Hurricane kind of tore it up about 2 years ago, however. But it's rebounding, slowly but surely. But spent several days hunting shark's teeth. I know it has nothing to do with horticulture, but, hey, we can talk about the plants down there, the tassels falling off the live oak trees. Man, they are, like, finishing up. Just past their peak. So pollen wasn't a huge issue, but just the litter coming off the trees with the wind blowing. But what a great week at the coast. If you never visited, you know, South Carolina, we had some wonderful state parks. It's outdoors, Scott. Don't look at me funny, but we have wonderful state parks in the state.
I love them.
Get out there. Go visit a state park. It's a great adventure. All of them have something unique to offer. This one in particular is just really neat because you're on the beach. Weather was fantastic, right?
Yeah, I like that photo you sent me of your view.
Oh, yeah, from the hammocks?
Yeah.
Looking through the old fallen trees washed up on the shore. Well, I don't know if they really washed up. More of beach erosion took them out, and they fell over. String a hammock up in the afternoons, chill out in the sun. It was nice and cool, breeze coming off the ocean. Yeah, the only thing was missing, I told the wife and kids, if it had that crystal clear, that deep blue look to the water. It's the only thing that was missing. But nonetheless, fantastic time. Traveling through the state of South Carolina, man, you can tell spring has sprung, right? Until this morning, you go outside, it's a little cold. Hey, how about this? You know, most of our listenership, Scott, Sunday evening got torrential rain and thunderstorms. Not one drop of rain in a local or there on the island. Not one drop. It's
really
unbelievable. Yeah, couldn't believe it. So, but a lot of the state has seen some rain here recently, some much-needed rain, as it is time for the weekly drought report. There we go. Scott with the knuckle roll. Wasn't a drum roll. He left his drumsticks at home. He went for the knuckles. Great job, by the way, Scott. Hey, and the weekly, as of April 16th, 2019. So they take this report every Tuesday. Does not account for the rain that we received yesterday and a little bit of rain we may receive today. Currently, 56% of the great state of South Carolina is in some form of drought. So it's grown just a little bit, maybe 2 or 3%, nothing major. And it is all isolated to D0 and D1. So abnormally dry, moderate drought are the two categories that we're looking at. And it is isolated to the coast and through the Midlands. Starting to see a little bit creep up on that Georgia state line just above McCormick, maybe heading a little bit towards the upstate. But, you know, hey, we're in, you know, we're in better shape than we were last year. This same week last year, we had nearly 80% of the great state of South Carolina was in some form of drought. So we're in better shape than last year, folks, but we still need some rain. And the reason I bring this up every week, one, it gives us a minute or two to talk while people call in and text us. No, that's not why, Scott. I know that's what you're thinking, right? No, the reason I bring this up is we are transitioning at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, our warm season lawns are probably mostly green at this point, at least they should be. But we're still transitioning, and not just our lawns, it's our shrubbery, our flowers. And as we transition, there's a need for consistent moisture. And if we're in some type of drought, I want you to be aware of it, because this is when you may want to cut the irrigation system back on. Get it fired up, get it tuned up, get it ready. Supplement with a little bit of water. We have to be careful because we have these low humidity days. You know, we get sunny, the wind's blowing, low humidity, things really begin to dry out. We see that a lot in sodded lawns, especially newer sodded lawns that maybe aren't 100% mature at this point. You can struggle a little bit with water management. So that's why I bring it up, is to be aware of that, of what's going on. So other than that, Scott, you know, the winter weeds are still around, but they are beginning to, you can see they're bolting, they're turning a little more yellow. They're getting a little leggy. They're reaching the end of their life cycle. So they're pretty much wrapping their winter season up. They're almost done. I guess they got their last hoorah this morning and tomorrow morning with the cooler temps, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, hey, fool you. You know, they think it's going to get cold, and they're like, oh, finally. Oh, maybe it's not the end of our life cycle. No, it's a joke, because it's going to be 80-something degrees come Tuesday, right? You know, we talked about it last week, but during this transition, now that we're warmer, the soil temperature's warmer, now it's time to get out there and get your lawn fertilized. Warm season lawns in particular, the 16-25-12 starter fertilizer, every one of our stores has plenty of it in stock. And by the way, you can find our stores this week. It's pretty simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. And that ties into a quick text, and we'll get to the phone lines. Do you have an email address for the Duncan store? Tried calling and left several messages and haven't received a call back. We apologize for that. It's our busiest time of the year. Yes, we do have an email for all of our stores. It's very simple. So it's the store, city, or location, at CarolinaFreshFarms.com. So Duncan is very simple. It is Duncan at CarolinaFreshFarms.com. So, and that's a great way to communicate if you don't mind, you know, if it's busy, if you get the busy signal, because we are kind of burning the candle at both ends right now, wouldn't you say?
Spring has
sprung. A little slower yesterday and maybe today with the cold, wet weather, but we will see. Scott, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have, I believe it's Louise in Columbia. Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thank you for taking the call. Oh. I have a question about weed and feed. Is it too late to put it down? And then in my area, St. Andrews, we have had so much rain, I'm about to drown over here.
Yes, as we do know, it's kind of odd, Louise, when you look at the drought report across the state, and you realize that the low country is not getting the rain, because us in the Midlands and the upstate.
Because I'm about to drown from the house next door. They don't have gutters on there yet.
Oh, no. So it all flows over to you. So
I've got, 40 or 50 feet between two houses from brick to brick on each side of the house is flooded.
Gotcha. So, you know, the weed and feed, what kind of lawn do you have? Is it a centipede lawn or?
In the front, I have centipede, and in the back, I think it's Charleston because it stays green all winter long.
Okay. So probably some St. Augustine holding in there, a little bit coarser texture, and it will hold a little bit more color through the winter. But if it were me, I would probably, especially with centipede in the front lawn, I would probably be patient for about two more weeks and let the grass transition just a little bit more before we do the weed and feed. Now, feeding the lawn, as far as fertilizer, would certainly be fine at this point in time and actually a good thing to do. But the herbicide that may be in that weed and feed product, I would be a little cautious of that for about two more weeks. Just, you know, during the transition time of year, especially centipede, can be a little finicky with us. So I would be patient for just maybe two more weeks, and then you can get the weed and feed down.
Okay, I'll try that then.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
You too. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well.
Thank you.
Scott, great call. Kind of sums it up. Well, I guess we're done with the show. Louise did a good job. And a nice call. Quick and easy. I just pulled up, just out of curiosity, the soil temperatures, because we are going to get more phone calls, I'm sure, and questions this week about the weed and feeds, things of that nature. And soil temperature plays a big role in this, of our grasses and our shrubs and our perennials transitioning. So the five-day average in Columbia as of today is 69.6 degrees. In the upstate of South Carolina, in Greer, we are sitting at, well, I took it away. Sorry about that, Scott. But I believe it said it was around 65 degrees for the five-day average.
Mm-hmm.
So the soil temperatures are about the same as where they were last week. That's really due to, and I say it through the winter months, that irrigation or rainfall can help kind of moderate and buffer your soil temperatures. We got some rainfall. I'm sure that's why we're seeing kind of that buffering on our soil temperatures. Would you not expect that?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we are there. We are going to go to Dennis, and Aiken has found us on the phone lines. Hello, Dennis, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, guys. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well.
I'm starting to feel like a pest here. I've called it a couple times in the last couple of weeks, but
oh,
I'm an
no.
old guy, and you forget stuff. I've got 10 acres total, but I got 2 acres where I've got common Bermuda. It's spotty at best, but I got an infestation of crabgrass. I put on the starter fertilizer last week per your instruction right after the show. And my question is, I'm getting ready to overseed this 2 acres with common Bermuda here. I'm thinking Tuesday, Wednesday when it warms up. Or should I hit the crabgrass with quinclorac before I do it and wait a couple weeks to plant the seed, or plant the seed and live with the crabgrass until the Bermuda germinates?
I just want to hear Scott's comment on this. Go ahead, Scott. As I already know what I'm going to say, Dennis. I just want to see what Scott
says. Get your seed down and...
Is that what you say?
Well, the common seed. I was going to overseed areas because it's really spotty. I mean, that's what I've got Bermuda-wise is really spotty on this 2 acres, and I need to pretty much overseed the whole thing.
So knowing that the Scott, what I don't know. Scott's thinking overseed first, and then worry about the crabgrass on the backside. But my thoughts are: is the soil temperature is only at 69 degrees,
and you still got plenty of time to overseed.
Exactly. We're April, Dennis. It's 69.5 degrees soil temperature in the Columbia area. I'd imagine it's about the same in Aiken. You know, the Bermuda grass really seed is not really going to begin to think about germination until we get 70, 75 degrees in the soil temperature profile. So if it were me, I think I would go ahead and go with the quinclorac. I think you need to read the label. I'm not real certain off the top of my head the interval before you can seed. I would imagine it's 2 to 3 weeks after application and then you can seed. But let's say even if it's 4 weeks, that means you're putting Bermuda seed down the third week of May.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad time to seed Bermuda because it's a little bit early to seed Bermuda because our soil temperatures are still cool. Typically, when we talk about seeding Bermuda, I prefer people wait to mid-May through mid-June to seed Bermuda grass. So I think knowing what time we are now, it seems like you respond pretty quickly when you get a suggestion because you went out last week and put your starter fertilizer down immediately after the show. So if you respond pretty quickly to our suggestion, which is go ahead and spray your quinclorac, you know, I'd probably wait until Monday or, you know, you could do it tomorrow. I'd let this threat of rain today get out of here. And then go spray your quinclorac if you're so inclined. I don't know about you though. Easter Sunday, you know, Sunday afternoons, I'll do a little bit of yard work, but Easter Sunday afternoon, no, it's all about ham and potato salad and fried chicken, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've got a boom sprayer I pull behind the tractor, and the wind's only supposed to be 3 mile an hour on Tuesday, so I was going to do it Tuesday.
Yeah, go spray it Tuesday. Read that label very closely of when you can seed afterwards. If I had to say, as a rule of thumb, we normally tell people 2 to 3 weeks. What does it say, Scott? Scott actually pulled it up real quick.
Yeah, because I really don't know on that one right there. I was thinking 30 days.
What is it?
Can drive be applied during seeding? According to the label, drive can be at the time of application and after the application if you're dealing with, well, that's with tall fescue.
Yeah. I think you'll be fine. I'd give it maybe 2 to 3 weeks and then seed afterwards, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Well, and you're right on the stores having plenty of the 16-25-12. I went over there and they had a boatload, and I took most of it.
So. Well, good. So keep buying fertilizer. You know, to us, it's the Gillette razor of the industry. We always look for that disposable product, and fertilizer's kind of it, you know. It keeps you coming back, right?
That's right. That's right.
So we hope things continue to head in the right way in your lawn, and we hope you have a happy Easter, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Happy Easter to you. See
you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Scott, two great calls to kick it off. They found us at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Scott, we got some text questions here I think we need to get through. What
okay.
you say?
Do it.
Poannual, what can I do? I have Bermuda, and it's creeping across yard. I have a yard service, but it's still creeping. How about Revolver? Yes, you can certainly use Revolver. It is a little pricier. But there's no harm in that. I will say this, and I've said it for the last couple of weeks, so I know it's beginning to sound a little bit like a broken record, and this cool temperatures may delay this, but the Poannual is on its way out. You could use Revolver if it's really annoying you that much. The thing with Revolver, however, depending on what rate you go at, it's going to take at least 2, 3, 4 weeks for you to see it go away. Even if you use Monument, it's going to be a couple, 3 weeks. By the time the chemical takes it out, it's probably going to die anyway. I think you're really at this point this week. I mean, it's going to be in the 80s this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you may think about just mowing it down a little bit closer than normal. You should be doing that with your warm season lawn anyway, especially Bermuda once it's transitioned. Maybe mow it a little bit closer, a little tighter than normal to help clean it up, get some of those seed heads out of the way, and be patient. Or mow a little, you know, twice a week for the next couple of weeks until it completely checks out, and be patient. I have a holly bush that is dropping yellow leaves. Any idea what could be wrong? Thanks, Harriet and Greer. You got any thoughts on that? Because I got a couple thoughts.
One, the water.
Excessive water. Excessive water, you see the entire leaf just kind of turn yellow a lot of times, and it's going to drop off when you get extremely wet feet. You're in Greer, Harriet, and we've had well over 30 inches of rain from November to March 1st, and we've had a lot of rain since then.
Mm-hmm.
So excessive moisture. Also, the fact that it's spring of the year and that plant is going through a transition. Even though it doesn't go dormant, that plant's going through transition at this point. It's putting on new growth, so it's going to slough some of its old growth. If it's those older leaves inside the canopy at the lower section of the branch, I wouldn't be terribly concerned. I think it could just be a transitional thing. I think that combined with the amount of moisture we've had is probably what's given Harriet the issues, wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't think of any whacked out disease. You know, we get a lot of calls and a lot of people walk in the store during the week, Scott, and they're always looking for a particular disease or something that's causing this. And sometimes
we probably had 5 or 6. This week came in with, you know, yellow leaves dropping.
Yeah, but they kind of look at you when you tell them it's more environmental or it's the life cycle of the plant. It's typical. Don't worry about it. They kind of get this little frown on their face sometimes and get upset. It's almost like they want you to diagnose a problem. And I get it because
And we love selling product.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just don't need it.
Yeah, sometimes you don't need it. It's kind of like the, you know, Revolver at this point. Not real sure.
And worst case scenario, I mean, fertilize it right now. You'll be fine.
Well, it is time to fertilize, mid-April, right? Fertilize your plant and shrubs. Triple 14 wood ace is what we suggest. It's a great time to do it. You should do it twice a year, once now and once in the fall, maybe September. Yeah, I say fall. That's kind of like summer for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. You know, well, I don't even want to think about it. It'll be hot and dry, I'm sure. Is it too late to prune crepe myrtles? It's beginning to get a little late, but if it were me, I'd prune them.
Prune.
Yeah.
Not butcher.
Yeah, not cut them off, not crepe murder, as some people call it.
Don't take it from a tree to a bush.
That's right. We're going to thin the canopy. So if you're taking out anything, I'd say larger than a half an inch, It should be several inches big, and it should be all the way back down at that main trunk, right? So, yes. Scott, we're going to try it. We have about a minute and 10 seconds left. We have Ron in Greer. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, good morning. I've got this stuff 6111. It's been hanging around for a while now. I put it on my Bermuda. I mixed it with the 62512 or whatever you're supposed to be according to your directions.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Did I kill something?
No, not at all. That's actually a good old product. It's a 6111 organic based, and it's high in iron. We typically, Ron, have you use that later in the summer for a greening effect because of the high iron. But to use it this time of the year is not going to hurt anything in the world. So no problem.
Well, I've got a couple bags of iron. for later, I guess.
All right.
Like one quickie on the grass here.
Make it very quick. We got 30 seconds.
One spot that was kind of wet. I got one spot that might have had a little bit of a dip and the water stayed there. That'd be enough to kind of kill it off because of all the rain we had, wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, definitely.
Or at least cause it to be stifled.
That is true.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. We have to take that bottom of the hour break. Please give us a call during the break. The phone lines are open, 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And text us at 71307. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Yard Pros, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is an absolute delight to be here. Second half of the Yard Pro Show, the Saturday before Easter edition. Scott?
It is. You're
over there typing, having a good time.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Doing a little bit of research, I propose, or guess, I hope.
I am.
Okay, good. So, folks, in the bottom of an hour break, the phone lines lit up. Looks like a Christmas tree. You would think it was December the 24th, like Christmas Eve, the way the lights are blinking in here. And we do appreciate that, and as well as the text lines at 71307. So, Scott, let's go straight to the phone lines. We have John in Simpsonville. Hello, John, and welcome to the Yard Pros.
Good morning. Enjoy your show. I have a lot on Lake Murray down in Chapin, South Carolina. And it's a corner lot, and one of the roads is a gravel road, and I'd like to plant some type of shrubbery along that road that would kind of, you know, keep the dust and the noise down, to my house.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions?
I mean, do you have enough room for a smaller tree, or how much room do you have?
I've got a fair amount of room there, probably, 10 or 15 feet. Something that kind of is green from the ground up.
Yeah. One of the things that I kind of like, and I've had a lot of friends, it seems like, here recently, especially my neighbor has lost a lot of Lelands. I would kind of avoid, especially you get on these lake properties, we see a lot of hedgerows of Leland cypress and things. Leland's probably not my first choice just because of some of the issues in the last 5 to 10 years that we've seen in those trees. But there's one out there that has that similar nice evergreen look, and it's a conifer. It's called Cryptomeria. They're a little bit slower growing, but they're very nice trees. And in that area that you're in, I think the Cryptomeria would do well because it sounds like you're on a road a little more open with a little more sunlight.
Right. It's got good sunlight.
And what I would suggest, long term, John, if you want to make sure they stay full all the way to the bottom, we need to give them ample space to grow. So we don't want to plant them too close. Make sure you plant them, 35 feet apart or so down that row. And yes, it's going to take a little bit longer for them to fill in where they actually begin to completely screen everything. Long term, it's going to be healthier for the tree. They're going to be there longer with you. But to me, the Cryptomerias, they're nice. It's a very thick canopy. So from a noise perspective, I think that'll help eliminate some noise as well. And they will, those trees will grow, 30, 35 feet tall, which is nice in that situation. So to give you a nice green living hedge or fence. But I would suggest looking into Cryptomeria.
Okay. One other question, if I may.
Sure.
Looking to reseed some of the lot, and I came across a brand called Black Beauty. Are you familiar with that?
The black beauty that I am familiar with is a turf type tall fescue. Any turf type tall fescue in that Chapin market is going to be a little. You're really on the border. It's almost like you go to Lawrence County, you get up to Clinton, you get up to Lawrence, you can have some success with fescue, but if you go to Newberry, you can't. So you're kind of right there on that line.
Okay.
It's going to be a little difficult. You know, if it were me, a lake property, you know, if you got enough sunlight, I would go more to some warm season grasses. I would kind of stay away from the Bermuda, and this is one situation in that Chapin market. I don't recommend centipede a lot, but in that market you're in Chapin, centipede might be a better option for you if you don't mind investing money in sod. And you know, people that sod also, you know, you could put a little, you could put a plug here and there, and let it grow in and creep over time. But to me, if I had a lake lot, I wouldn't think of anything other than a zoysia grass, because zoysias don't have to be mowed as frequently. You do something like Palisades or Chisholm, they're extremely drought tolerant, so we don't have to tend to water as much, and the fertility requirement's not as high. And
I've got one pretty big shaded area. The rest of the lot is fairly open. Does that zoysia do well in the shade?
If it's light shade, yes, it can do pretty good. It's going to do as good, maybe a little bit better than some centipede. If it's very dense shade, there are some varieties that will do quite well in some very dense shade. So what you need to do is kind of map the sun a little bit when you're down there on a sunny day and see how much sunlight you get. You know, if we can get 4 hours or 5 hours of pretty good sunlight, even if it's a little filtered, we can probably be successful growing some zoysia in that area. But I just feel like long term, if you're going to hold this lake property long term, which I imagine you are, I try to tell folks with a vacation home or a lake home, if you can go zoysia, if you can stomach the cost of sodding, even if you're just doing 5 or 6 pallets a year, and next year you do a little more, I just think you'll be happier long term with the zoysia grass. It's going to perform well in the summer without being a burden to you, because I think the last thing you want to do is show up at the beautiful lake and have to tend to a yard for a day before you really get to go out on the boat and enjoy the lake. So.
Great. Good suggestions. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, John. Have a happy Easter.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines, I do believe. Well, real quickly, we're going to get right to them. Looking for the best local source for elderberry, mulberry, blueberries, blackberries, plum, et cetera. We're in Taylor's. You know, edible crops, they've gotten kind of hard to find at some of the local nurseries, but if you are going to find them, now is the time. If you want blueberry bushes, raspberries, things of that nature, you need to call around to your local nurseries right now. I know you do a little bit of edibles.
I said, Reed, we've got all of them but the mulberry.
But the mulberry. You have it there in the Anderson store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there you go. And the reason you have them is because it's right now. Now is the time. So, you know, Scott's got some of them, all of them, but one other than the elderberry there in the Anderson location. If you want something a little more local, check out something like Happy Plants. They may have it as well. So, Scott, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have Bob in Columbia. Hello, Bob, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Wow.
Hey, I just put down a zoysia lawn. I think it's called Zenith.
Okay.
And that was 1 year ago, March. And it's doing all right, but it's got a lot of iffy spots, and I'm trying to bring it along. So I put the stuff down, and you said last weekend, I'm like that guy that ran to the store and got it, put it down that day.
Good.
So I did that, but my spreader, Scott's, I think it's a little Scott's spreader. I don't have any idea what number to put it on.
Okay.
So I put down the whole, I shot for the whole 50-pound bag on 4,000 square feet. I got about 15 pounds left over. I don't know if I put enough down.
All right. So,
was it a 16, 25, 12?
Yes.
And you said you got 4,000 square feet.
So a Scott's, like an Edgeguard or a Scott's Mini, Speedy Green?
Yeah, it's a little spreader. It won't even hold a third of the bag.
So a Mini, that's going to be anywhere from 4.5 to 5 will be your spreader set.
Okay, so that was the thing. I never knew how much, you know, I put it on about a – 3/8-inch gap, and I just went with it, you know.
And that's what I tell a lot of people, Bob, is, you know, you want it about as big, you know, somewhere between your pinky finger and your index finger. Choose a finger, open up the gate valve, as we call it, and kind of make sure it's about the size, you know, as a rule of thumb. You know, with a typical fertilizer, if it's around your pinky finger, you're definitely not going to get in trouble. Even if it's as big as what your index finger would be, you're still good as there as well. But I also want to give you a tip too, two tips. Number one, in today's age, I think everybody's familiar with the internet and going to the website. If you go to LebSeed, that's LEBSEA, LebSeed.com, is short for Lebanon Seaboard Corporation, who is the manufacturer of the fertilizers we sell. If you look on the bottom of their website, on the bottom of that first page, in green writing, you will see a little tab that says spreader settings. And you can go in that spreader setting there, and you can check and select your spreader. And you can actually select most of the Lebanon products are on there, not all of them, but you'll find something pretty close. And you can go in there and find your product, put your spreader setting in there, or your spreader, and it'll tell you what to put it on.
Okay. Well, that's good information. I also put down the fungicide stuff.
Good.
At the same time.
Yep. Now, the other little tip I was going to give you as well, the particular variety of zoysia, the Zenith that you planted, it loves nitrogen more so than any other zoysias out there. If you really want to get that off to a good start, the other tip I was going to give you is a little bit of extra fertilizer, maybe one extra app here in the next couple of months, would certainly give you some benefit to that lawn. That grass is just, for some reason, it doesn't perform extremely well until you get the fertility a little bit higher. So keep that in mind. If you see it beginning to wane on you a little bit, turn a little bit off color, put a little extra fertilizer to it, and it should correct your problems.
All right. I bought another bag of the other stuff that it says to put down in May. So I'm ready to put that down in May, but I still got some of the starter left over. I could go ahead and spread the rest of that out.
Yes, you can put I don't think it'll hurt you. Maybe wait about 2 to 3 weeks before you do that app in May. Maybe kind of time that extra starter you have and do it in between this first application you made and the next one you're going to make in May. So maybe wait about 2 weeks and then put it down, and you should be fine. But a little bit of extra fertilizer goes a long way with that variety.
Well, it's looking a lot better. It's like
good.
I say, it's new, so it's looking better.
Good deal. Well, you have a great weekend and have a happy Easter.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Scott, we're going to stay with this phone line real quick, and then we'll get to some text questions because, you know, I hate to keep people on wait too long. We had several call in during the break. We have Reggie in Fountain Inn. Hello, Reggie, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hi, it's Randy, not Reggie.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. So what can we help you with?
We just moved into a new home for us at the end of January, and it's about an acre and a half of grass. Mostly, I believe, it's centipede. There's a lot of what I think is wild fescue.
Okay.
Mixed in with it. And I'm wondering, what's my best plan of attack? I'm guessing maybe when the soil temperature gets higher to overseed it. And if I overseed it, should I plug it or anything like that, or aerate it before I overseed to get some loose soil or something? And what should I do?
You know, first and foremost, I think you got to make a decision of what grass do I want to grow. And it sounds like you've decided you would rather encourage the centipede, correct?
That is correct.
All right. If you want
to centipede than the wild basically.
Yeah. All right. And if you want to encourage that centipede, yes, I would go out and check and see, you know, what is the compaction. You know, it's a new home to you with somewhat of an established lawn. So there's a couple things we want to check. Number one, what is the soil compaction? Take a screwdriver, you know, sometime today, tomorrow, try to stick it into the soil. How deep can you push it in by hand, you know, without having to get a hammer out? If it's severely compacted, yes, you need to get out there and core aerify it. If it's not, don't waste your time, okay? Core aerification to me with centipede is a little tough because we can cause too much injury to the centipede if we're not careful. So if we don't have to core aerify it, don't core aerify it. You'll be better off. If it's really compacted really, really hard, then you're going to have to core aerify it. The other thing we need to do is we need to take a soil sample. So if you'll run that by one of the stores, either Duncan or Anderson, you're in Fountain Inn, you're kind of between the two, we can send that off and test it for free. But we need to get a soil test to know, because if it's been laying there fallow, the pH could be so blooming low that it's causing problems. Now, centipede will grow in some lower pH, but nonetheless, it'll tolerate it, but it still prefers a little bit closer to neutral. You know, if we can get the pH up to about 6, you're going to be better off versus trying to grow it if the pH is 5. So we need to do that. If you're going to seed it and try to interseed with centipede in the Fountain Inn market, we definitely need to wait until I'd say the last half of May, if not until the first week of June, before we think about putting some seed out. As far as the fescue that's in there, I would kind of roll with it. I wouldn't do a lot trying to eradicate the fescue right now until we get some of this other stuff done and maybe get some other grass growing. And then through the summer months, if you're maintaining a centipede lawn, a lot of your cultural habits will help take some of that fescue out, and it will die through the summer. But what doesn't, maybe when we get into August, before we go into our winter transition, you can give us a call one of the stores, call the show if you would like, give us an update about the lawn, and we can give you some recommendations of what you may be able to do to try to take some of that fescue out at that point.
Okay, about how much, with an acre and a half, about what size bags, how many bags is it going to be? How many pounds?
It's 1 pound per thousand.
Yeah, it's 1 pound per thousand.
That's on new seed.
That's on new ground. You know, you're not going to reseed the whole lawn. If it were me, I would start, I'd probably get 25, 30 pounds of seed for that acre and a half and try to broadcast it out and see if that helps build everything and get it where you want it.
Okay.
All right. Good. Well, you have a great weekend, and have a happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you guys as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Scott, man, that was a whirlwind of some phone calls there, man, and they were all absolutely excellent questions.
They were.
I really enjoyed the participant side of things when we get to interact. You know, with that, I think it is time to get back to this text line. What say you?
Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to update it, make sure we're at the best we can be. What is the best type of grass that will stay dark green all year long? I live in Spartanburg County.
Fescue.
Well, fescue bluegrass blend is going to certainly stay green all winter.
Or you can go with the Bermuda and oversee where perennial rye.
You could do that. There are not many options out there. And here's the problem. You know, do you go cool season? Do you go warm season? Okay, I'm a cool season fanatic. Excuse me. I have been, a little past tense there, right? In the past, I have been a cool season fanatic. As my life gets busier, I lean a little more towards warm season. And here's why. Here's my thoughts. And we get this question a lot, especially in the winter months. If you look around us where we live, it is a very unique area in the state of South Carolina. Okay, especially, well, really for the entire state, but especially the more you go, or the closer you get to the mountains, the further west and north you go in our state, which we're talking about Spartanburg County. The oak trees drop leaves and they're brown. The maple trees drop leaves and they're brown. Some of our shrubbery is deciduous and it's brown. A brown lawn in the winter is not necessarily a bad thing. If maintained properly, it's just as striking as pretty. The key with a dormant lawn is keeping it weed-free in the winter. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a little bit of green breaking up the eye. But if you really desire a green lawn in the winter, your best option to live in Spartanburg County is definitely a fescue bluegrass blend. Now, the problem with that is you're going to suffer in July and August. Just no two ways about it.
So you're going from 2 months out of the year with a yard that's going to look somewhat
mediocre.
Yeah. Or 5-6 months out of the year where your lawn's going to be brown.
Is it even 5-6 months, though, with the warm season? Yeah. It's typically 3-4.
Right.
you know. So I think you got to hedge. You got to sit there and weigh this out, okay? But if you do want the green all year round, to answer the question, the fescue, the Carolina Blue 2 fescue bluegrass blend is your best option. But even then, if you get a really cold winter, even the fescue bluegrass is not going to be dark green all winter. It's just, you know, it gets so cold, even that grass senesces. It doesn't go fully dormant, but it goes through a period of rest where it's so cold, soil temperatures.
It's a yellowish tint then.
Yeah, that it has more of a yellowish tint. So, but that kind of answers the question. Had to cut down an oak 2 years ago. Got most of the mulch out, but still got a quite of unlevel with ground. What do I need to do to get grass in that area? Thanks in advance, John in Spartanburg. You know, the biggest thing is we want to make sure that one area, and we get this question a lot as well, is I took a tree out, had stump ground, what do I do now? We need to make sure that one area, especially if it's in the middle of your yard, that soil profile needs to be as close, if not identical, to the soil native soil profile in the yard as possible. Because if we go in there with a higher organic content, a more pliable, softer soil that holds more nutrient, holds more water, you plant grass over the top of it, guess what? We go through periods of stress, like drought. That's always going to look different than everything else in the yard. And if it's in the middle of your front yard or even in the middle of your backyard, it's going to be somewhat of an eyesore, and it's going to be difficult because it's going to react different to irrigation cycles. It's going to react different to even fertility. And that grass is probably always going to look healthier than the rest of your yard, which is just compacted red clay, right? So we need to make that as closely as possible. We need to try to excavate some of that organic material out. There's also a disease, and we never really talk about it, but there's a disease called fairy ring. Fairy ring is almost a perfect circle, rather large in your yard. You can see fairy ring at different times in the year during the growing season. It's all about soil temperature. And that high organic content is what kind of triggers the fairy ring, because that's – and then you'll see like a perfect ring of mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's a couple of levels of fairy ring. It could just be dark green grass because that fungus is making the grass look better, believe it or not. It's providing an opportunity for it to take up more nutrients. That's why. Nitrogen in particular. Okay. But – you'll see mushrooms. Another form of fairy ring that can be very detrimental to you is when it becomes hydrophobic, okay, because of that organic content. You get fairy ring, you got disease in the turf, disease in the soil, that ring becomes hydrophobic, then we begin to see grass die, okay? That's normally what happens in a home lawn situation. It's because of the high organic content. A lot of times we see it where, like on a golf course fairway, maybe where they put this golf course in years ago and they buried stumps. And now that stump's decaying. If we increased organic content, we have a higher likelihood to see fairy ring. Okay? So that's another reason. We want to make sure we don't want excessive organic. We talk about it when you build your soils to make a lawn, we want high organic content. But keep that in mind. How and when to kill Bahia and Zoysia? Did not apply pre-emergent in the fall. Should I weed and feed and fertilize and when? Yes, in May sometime we call for a weed and feed type product. But Bahia, there's a product out there. The active ingredient is metsulfuron. It's spelled just like I pronounce it, metsulfuron. That product seems to work pretty well on Bahia and Zoysia. So keep a lookout for it, and it'll work pretty good. And I would probably try to hit that Bahia sometime mid to late May. But a weed and feed, a conventional weed and feed and fertilizer is not going to touch Bahia. Typically not going to touch, it's not going to touch your grassy weeds, crabgrass, Bahia, goosegrass, things of that nature. So you're going to have to go out and do a little bit extra post-emergent. Scott, it's been a great show.
It has.
I want to leave the folks with this. Tomorrow is an Easter Sunday, and we hope you all enjoy Easter Sunday. We hope you all enjoy your surroundings tomorrow. It's going to be a little sunnier, a little warmer. I'm sure you will see plenty of Easter lilies at your church. And if you're lucky enough to bring one of those Easter lilies home, I want to remind you that take it inside, enjoy it, and you can take that Easter lily and plant it outside in the garden at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware. I don't know if you know this. Easter lilies are highly toxic to cats.
Yes.
Highly toxic to cats. So if you have the feline friends at home, you may want to keep the Easter lilies donate them to another shut-in at the church that maybe doesn't have a cat or something. And enjoy the dogwoods. And remember, when you see the dogwood, I always thought this was neat. It has four bracts. They're not petals. The bloom is actually in the middle, which represents the crown of thorns. The four bracts actually, the four bracts have little dents to signify the nail holes of the crucifixion and a little bit of red around the edge from the blood of Christ. So remember that as you go through Easter. Enjoy the outdoors. Remember what it's all about. We hope you have a happy day gardening, preparing your lawns, preparing yourself, and a little bit of peaceful rest today. Enjoy your Easter, and we'll talk to you next week. Happy gardening to you all. You can find us during the week at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our retail stores as well as email addresses if you'd like to contact us directly during the week. Hope you have a happy week gardening, and we'll talk to you next week.